It's time now for the Bob Siegel Show, a religious open forum where all questions are welcome. The Bob Siegel Show is brought to you in part by on-camera and voiceover talent rodhunter.com and the law offices of Matthew Simone. And now, here's your host, Christian apologist Bob Siegel.
Well, we're a week into this war, and Iran has not been silent about the situation. Their spokespeople say, "We do not attack our neighbors." Yeah, they said that. Actually, they have attacked 12 countries, including allies like Turkey. Oh, well, yeah, sure, if you're going to count all that. Unfortunately, the stupidest comments this last week didn't come from Iran, but right here in the good old USA, like those saying we shouldn't rush to judgment regarding the shootings in Austin. A gunman opened fire in Buford's bar at 12 a.m. 14 were shot, several were killed. He was killed by police immediately. The suspect, and I don't know why they still refer to him as a suspect since he was killed in the act, the suspect was a naturalized citizen born in Senegal. And this happened, as you know, right on the heels of the U.S. and Israel bombing of Iran, but authorities were quick to say that we are not sure if this was related or was even an act of terrorism. Really? We can't jump to the conclusion that this was an act of terrorism? The guy wore a sweatshirt with the name Allah on it. Underneath was a t-shirt with the flag of Iran. But that might be nothing more than a coincidence. Who really knows if his love for Iran had anything to do with the shooting? It was at a bar, after all. Maybe he just didn't like the taste of the beer. Yeah. That must be it. And while everybody is blaming Trump for this Middle East unrest, our mainstream media, which never disappoints, is doing everything they can to rehabilitate the Ayatollah Khomeini. I'm going to read out loud right now from the Washington Post. With his bushy white beard and easy smile, Ayatollah Khomeini cut a more avuncular figure in public than his perpetually scowling but much more revered mentor, and he was known to be fond of Persian poetry and classic Western novels, especially Victor Hugo's Les Miserables. So, he likes poetry. He likes novels. Well, you didn't explain it like that. Never mind that he just murdered 30,000 of his own people that were demonstrating in the streets. This is the smartest comment from our mainstream media since designating that illegal human trafficker a Maryland dad. As if evil men have never fathered children. As if evil people don't like the arts. I remind you that Adolf Hitler loved to paint. And he loved forests. And he was a vegetarian. Kind of makes you look at the guy in a whole different light, doesn't it? Well, I suppose the only way to portray Trump as a villain, and they must portray him as a villain no matter what, the only way to portray him as a villain is to portray his enemy as a hero. Even though that man has declared himself the enemy of the United States for many, many years. The accusation against Trump? Trump is waging an illegal war. Well, shoot, we don't want our presidents to be illegal. I'll tell you what was illegal. It was illegal for Biden to open wide our borders and let millions of people a year into our country, including unvetted people from Iran and other terrorist countries. But Trump is accused of being illegal because he acted without cause. People say Iran did not declare a war. My friends, they did declare a war. They declared it with America 47 years ago after taking Americans hostage in the American embassy in 1979, and they kept them there a whole year. They have been at war with us for 47 years. They chant death to America as often as they breathe. In 1983, they bombed the U.S. Embassy in Beirut, killing 63 people, including 17 Americans. In October of that same year, a truck bomb went off in Beirut, killing 241 Americans. In 1985, they hijacked a TWA flight and killed a Navy diver. In 1996, a bomb went off at the Kobol Tower in Saudi Arabia, killing 19. They have openly called for the assassination of President Trump. No, they haven't declared a war at all. This was completely unprovoked. The Democrats understood all of this once for decades. Previous presidents and Democratic senators and congressmen, they were all calling Khomeini a ruthless dictator. They were all saying he could never get a nuclear weapon. Well, Obama tried to stop him from getting that nuclear weapon. He gave him $56 billion because the Ayatollah promised he wouldn't use that money on building a weapon. And of course, their word is good as gold. But it isn't just Democrats. There are a lot of people who voted for Trump. It's called the isolationist wing of his party. Over the years, they liked hearing Trump criticize our war in Iraq. Trump kept saying he was not going to get us into new wars. And an isolationist is a person that doesn't believe America should ever get involved in any war or anywhere in the world unless we're literally attacked on our shores. My friends, Trump never claimed to be an isolationist. I know that there are viewpoints of his that are similar to isolationists. He promised not to get us into long, protracted wars. He promised not to go in and do nation building. I agree with that. Well, I think it was fine that we went into Iraq and took out Saddam Hussein. After we did that, we should have left. We shouldn't have tried to turn that ideology into a democracy. At that point, I think our soldiers were dying in futility. But Trump never claimed to be an isolationist. He never claimed he wouldn't do military strikes when our best interests were in mind. Precision strikes, quick, and then we pull out. That's what Trump is all about. Remember in 2020, they took out the Revolutionary Guard leader, Soleimani. But people are saying, well, this was never America's war. We were dragged into Israel's war. Yeah. In Iran, they shout death to Israel, but again, they shout death to America. How many times do I need to say that? Maybe we need to clarify what death to America means. Are you ready? Are you listening? You see, death to America means death to America. These people were building a nuclear bomb. We set them back last year, but they started again. What about the negotiations? Why weren't we giving diplomacy a chance? We were. But we've learned that their opening remarks in the negotiations were that they had enough enriched uranium to soon rebuild their nuclear bomb. And you don't think they would have used that on us? Well, then the next time you leave your home, allow your pet cat to babysit your canary. This is Bob Siegel, making the obvious obvious.
As if you haven't figured it out by now, Bob is mildly opinionated about the ultimate issues of life. But Bob also respects the opinions of others. To offer your own viewpoint or to challenge Bob with a thought-provoking question, give us a call at 1-888-344-1170. 1-888-344-1170. You can also reach Bob through Facebook or questions@bobsiegel.net. When you trust the care of your children to others, it's comforting to know they share the same Christian values, that what you teach your children at home is also taught in their preschool environment. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is an all-inclusive preschool where the staff ministers to all children of all abilities, including children with special needs, through a curriculum developed by the owners and designed for the preschool-aged child 3 to 5. During these preschool years, your children will make important developmental gains, as well as social and emotional development that'll be the foundation for their overall success in life. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is a state-licensed, Bible-believing, Bible-teaching preschool. Contact us now at WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com and secure a space for your preschooler. WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com or call 619-440-1044. 619-440-1044. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool.
Well, we have heard about the death of the Ayatollah Khomeini and so many other Iranian leaders who might have been possible replacements, but who mysteriously perished before their resumes were hot off the presses. One airstrike piece of news that has not received as much attention is the death of former Iranian President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad. This is because his name has not been prominent in the news for a long time, but way back in the year 2005, when my radio show first went on the air, I talked about this bloodthirsty dictator, and I talked about him often, especially regarding his hatred, open hatred for Israel, and shameless call for the country's complete annihilation. I talked about him seriously most of the time because it's very serious stuff. But as you know, we also enjoy conveying ideas through humor. And in this vein, I wrote a satirical sketch way back then, a mock interview with this tyrant. The actors in the sketch were Sharon Cashard, who co-hosted the program with me the first couple of years, and Marvin the Martian, from Looney Tunes fame, playing the role of Ahmadinejad. Well, today I thought it might be fun to replay this sketch, so join us now for a trip down memory lane on The Bob Siegel Show back in the year 2005, keeping in mind that our U.S. president at that time was George W. Bush. Here now is an encore performance of our interview with Ahmadinejad.
Mr. Ahmadinejad, welcome to our program.
Oh, goody, we're on.
Now, I should say I was very unimpressed with Mike Wallace's interview, but unlike Wallace, I won't pull any punches because, personally, I think you're pure evil.
That wasn't a bit nice.
Maybe not, but you did tell the United Nations to take a hike. Why did you even bother talking to them in the first place? Why did you promise to consider dismantling your nuclear program?
Delays.
So you admit that any discussion with the UN is just a facade to cover up your illegitimate programs.
But it has to look legal.
Okay, let's get serious. How do you feel about Israel?
Gee whiz, that silly place irritates me so.
Israel irritates you, so what are you planning on doing about it?
Oh, I'm going to blow it up.
I thought you said you weren't building nuclear weapons. Blow it up with what?
The Illudium Q-36 Explosive Space Modulator.
Isn't it true that the Jews have been in that land for 4,000 years?
Technicalities.
So you really plan on killing off every single Jew?
Isn't it delightful?
You could live with yourself after genocide?
At long last, my dream come true.
Was there ever a time when you treated the Jews nicely? How did you deal with them before you became president of Iran?
I used to sell them door to door.
You're sick, you know that?
You have made me very angry. Very angry indeed.
Okay, enough about Israel. Any words for President Bush?
Now, let's all play fair.
Supposing he plays fair by destroying your nuclear weapons before they're completed.
Well, back to the old drawing board.
Any last words for us Americans?
Brace yourself for immediate disintegration.
That's all, folks.
This is Bob Siegel. They say a man's home is his castle. So when it comes to the wiring of your house, you don't want to mess around with some unknown electrician. Instead, do what I did. Call W&S Electric Incorporated. W&S specializes in both contracting and repair. From troubleshooting to remodeling to circuit breakers and fuses, WNS takes a skilled but personal interest in your home at affordable rates. I know the owner, Wayne Klingenhofer, personally, and I can testify firsthand to his integrity. Call 619-447-8785. That's 447-8785 for WNS Electric Incorporated, license number 480539, WNS Electric.
Looking for a book you won't be able to put down? Push the Winds Around is a romance set in the context of science fiction. Dr. Brandon Krieger is given the opportunity of a lifetime, a psychologist's dream. Through the usage of his physics professor friend's time machine, Brandon travels 20 years back through time in an attempt to change one man's destiny. Tom Kyle, a convicted and unremorseful murderer, is located in the past when he was a 6-year-old boy. Brandon's mission? To alter Tom Kyle's path and prevent him from being a vicious killer. Matters are complicated when Brandon finds himself falling in love with young Tom's mother. Push the Winds Around, a novel by Bob Siegel. Available on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com.
Welcome back to the Bob Siegel Show. Our theme, Christianity and its relationship to politics and pop culture. Say hello to my producer, Brendan Thomas.
Well, Bob, what an afternoon it's been. I mean, no news, so I guess we'll just swipe our hands clean and walk home. I don't know what to say.
Nothing's going on in the world.
If I could just make a few points here before we get into my main topic. Number one, he handed me a book for a gift, and I am so appreciative of it. I'm really looking forward to reading this.
Oh, thank you.
It is The Holocaust Against Israel. One of the things I mentioned off the air with Bob was that I noticed that this book came out in 2017.
Yeah. Now, so again, a lot of the current news isn't in there, but it's mostly about Israel's history, both ancient and modern 20th century history.
Exactly. And the main point I wanted to get is that this book is still just as relevant.
It's very relevant.
Than 9 years ago. Still, I mean,
you won't hear about the current war in Iran in there, but it's very, very relevant.
Exactly. And I do want to point out, you made that little clip of the Looney Tunes, Marvin the Martian. That, again, that was back in 2005, you said?
Yeah.
21 years ago, and it's still relevant
to this
day.
And that's still relevant, even though that particular dictator's dead now.
Exactly. But nevertheless, again, every single point made, it really shocks me to show how much of this stuff seems to just continuously come up over and over again. Like, I know the saying is history tends to repeat itself, but at this point, this is sort of ridiculous to see it repeated this much at this point.
I noticed the reference there to the fact that President Bush was concerned that they were building a nuclear weapon.
Mm-hmm.
Here we go, back in the year 2005.
Exactly. Yeah, it's just
2005.
It's a never-ending process here. So, well, in the meantime, tonight, Bob, I wanted to bring back, again, one of my favorite things, actually, is you responding to atheist comments.
Oh, so, it's one of my favorite things as well.
I honestly get so elated to see what kind of things get pent up by you from all these comments. Now, again, a lot of these are very arrogant, especially this first one. I mean, my goodness, the amount of arrogance coming off of this first clip I'm going to play for you is absolutely
hilarious. Can handle it.
Exactly. So this first clip is about 2 minutes long. I gave you a notepad and a pen in there, so you're going to take a lot of notes, I bet, because he's going to make so many points, and they're all completely wrong. So are you ready, Bob? Okay. Without any further ado, this first clip, he's using Bible verses to make a political point. Let's take a listen.
I have a question for Christians about a Bible passage. When a foreigner resides among you in your land, do not mistreat them. The foreigner residing among you must be treated as your native born. Love them as yourself. When you read that, what does it mean to you? How does this inform the way you look at our current political climate? When your Bible says that you should treat immigrants like they are native-born citizens, what do you think that means? And that's not the only time that the Bible talks about how you should treat foreigners. The community is to have the same rules for you and for the foreigner residing among you. This is a lasting ordinance for the generations to come. You and the foreigner shall be the same before the Lord. The same laws and regulations will apply both to you and to the foreigner residing among you. Like, these are not vague passages. These are incredibly clear. I mean, even the parable of the Good Samaritan is about how people shouldn't be judged for the color of their skin, or the place of their birth, or the way they practice their religion, but instead for the content of their character. So my question is, do you believe it? Or do you think this is outdated hogwash? Do you think this is something you should reject and throw away? Do you think that your national identity is more important to you than your God? And if you believe that this is true, if you actually do believe that the foreigners who live among you should be treated as native-born, how do you justify being outraged by the idea of protesters going into a Christian church to speak out about the mistreatment of foreigners living among you? Because if this isn't what they're teaching from the pulpit, then maybe it's time for you to have some guest speakers. Because if the pastor of your church is the person who is in charge of making sure that foreigners who live among you are treated differently, then maybe the message has gotten lost along the way. Maybe this isn't really what you're being taught.
So a lot to unpack there.
First of all, I love how people cherry pick the Bible. Now, I don't know this guy. I'm willing to bet good money, though, that if you were to look up online his position on abortion or same-sex marriage, he wouldn't care what the Bible had to say about that. The Bible would be dated.
Right.
But when it suits his purpose, and I know at least politicians, I know at least other people have had that hypocrisy. I suppose it's possible that he's different, but I would be very, very surprised. Now, it is true that in ancient Israel, if foreigners wanted to live in the land, they were treated very well. But they came by permission, and permission included an agreement to abide by the laws of Moses that God gave. Bottom line was they couldn't bring their idols with them. Look at how God tells them to treat the foreigners that come into their land and introduce idols. Very, very different. Now, when we let somebody into America, if you want to find a policy or a parallel to America, we do provide for people legally migrating into our country. These people that went into ancient Israel did it legally. We're not saying we're against legal immigration. We're saying we're against illegal immigration.
That's right.
And the immigrants that come here legally have to agree to abide by our laws. He went out of his way several times to say the laws should be the same for all. Well, are the laws the same for all when somebody from another country goes out to a university and has a pro-Hamas rally, anti-Semitic rally,
right,
anti-American rally? That's not abiding by our laws at all. When they interfere with ICE through violence. And as far as a church service, that's just swinish behavior. Somebody's speaking. Even if somebody was preaching a sermon I didn't agree with, I wouldn't run in there and open up my big mouth and interrupt him. Mm-hmm. This idea of, well, we have a right. That's our First Amendment freedom. The moment you interrupt somebody else, all you've done is violate their First Amendment freedom because you've made sure they can't speak. So this is very disingenuous. The guy just has not a clue what he's talking about.
I agree 100%. If I can add just a few more points, I do want to mention the original context of this verse. The original words was not foreigner at the time when he was reading out of that Bible verse. It was the word sojourner, I think is how you pronounce it.
Somebody that traveled to the land of Israel.
Exactly. A visitor or a traveler, someone that's there temporarily.
And if they wanted to stay, they could in most cases, but they had to agree to abide by Israel's laws.
Right, exactly.
And it's the people that are coming into our country breaking the laws and not abiding by the laws that we're having issues with.
Right.
That's not a tough one for people to figure out.
Exactly.
If they want to figure it
Christianity
out.
Christianity does not say you should automatically offer up citizenship to these people.
And the Bible is not anti-bordered. If he wants to go back to ancient Israel, look at where God lays out the map. This is where the 12 tribes will be. This is the border. This is where Manasseh will be. This is where Judah will be.
Right. Exactly. One thing he was going back to was the parable of the Good Samaritan, which is Luke chapter 10.
It is true that there was a hostility between the Samaritans and the ancient Jews.
Yes.
And Jesus did speak against that, but that has nothing to do with our policies about legal or illegal immigration.
Right, and the parable itself is very simple.
And he went out of his way to talk about skin color.
Yeah.
I'm so tired of this. Look in the polls and look how many Hispanic Americans agree with President Trump's border policies. Look how many people who work for ICE, who work for Border Patrol, are Hispanic Americans. It has nothing to do with skin color. That's just a straw man that they'd like to invent because the minute they can shout out the word racism, they think they've won the argument, and they shout out the word racism when they can't win a legitimate argument.
Totally. Also, again, within that parable, the main message is treat everyone like our neighbor. Not as our neighbor, like our neighbor, specifically the attributes of a neighborly. Not exactly like, oh, you need to be exactly like a neighbor, so therefore citizenship is equivalent to it.
But if somebody wanted to live in Israel, they would provide for that, but they had to worship the God of Israel. They couldn't bring in bad laws. They couldn't bring in false gods.
Right. And keep in mind, that verse he's talking about has to do with the land of Israel specifically, not the land of the United States. That is a completely different thing. That is its own governmental body.
I don't mind a transferable concept, but he's got to transfer it properly.
And no, exactly.
He did not find a good parallel to what's going on here.
No, not at all. Other things I do want to mention is that it says in the Bible that we must obey every ordinance of man, specifically, again, government laws that come about. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 13 through 17. Romans chapter 13, verses 1 through 7. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. All having to do with the same thing about ordinance of man, specifically. We follow the
laws. Unless it's an immoral law, but obeying our border laws is not an immoral law.
Right. The only time that it's different is specifically when those people violate God's specific law.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. That could be found in Acts chapter 4, verses 19, which is God's morality. I can read that super quick, saying, but Peter and John replied, which is right in God's eyes, to listen to you or to him? You be the judges. As for us, we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard. Is what
exactly. So if I don't like the speed limit, and I think it's stupid that the speed limit is 55 and I want to drive 65, well, I'm not disobeying God by driving 55. So God wants me to obey that law.
Mm-hmm.
But if somebody tells me I can't go to church anymore, I've got to stop worshiping Jesus, that is a law I will not obey.
Right. And then going back to what you were saying earlier, in Jesus' time, there were those who did believe who were foreigners, and they were called God-fearing Gentiles. They were never called Jews and never brought into the covenant. Even though God would save them, they were never promised people like the centurions back in the day, too. So I wanted to point that out. The centurion did not become a Jew, by the way, either. Nationality into salvation does not work. They are two separate categories. That's another thing I wanted to point out. And the guy also is mentioning all these points. So if that's the case, where is the guy's call to street witnessing? Where's the guy talking about giving people the gospel specifically based on these messages? Like you said, he picks and chooses verses in the Bible and therefore equivalent.
He's just cherry picking.
Exactly. I can't tell you how many times we've done different atheist comments where they'll say, oh, you see this verse? Well, then that means Christians believe that. No, there's context behind these verses.
Yeah, and context is usually something saddeningly neglected from all these things.
Exactly. Lastly, the protesters that were going into these churches and protesting there during that time. First off, you're interrupting a worship service. That's number one. But also, you're harassing and bullying the people that are attending.
There were kids that were scared and were crying in that service.
Exactly. The kids in the pews. What did they do? What did they do against any foreigner?
And can you just imagine if some MAGA supporters went and interrupted a mosque service? Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
And then, there'd be hell to pay.
Exactly. Then all hell would break loose on the earth. Exactly.
Christianity's always fair game.
Exactly. It also says near the end about how pastors have so much power. I do want to point out some denominations of churches, there's a church board that has a little bit more power than pastors.
And some denominations are congregational and they hire and fire their pastors. So not all pastors have that much power.
Right.
I've never told people they have to agree with everything their pastor says. Check them out with the Bible. But you don't interrupt somebody while he's talking.
Absolutely.
We didn't even interrupt this guy when he was talking. We played his whole segment.
Exactly. I could have talked over you the entire time, couldn't I? Because it was my production. Lastly, I do want to say that the message should be focused more on the afterlife, not what our current life is currently. And that also, we are not being taught a liberal ideology with a Christian slander. That's the last thing I want to point out. It should be straight up facts from the Bible to our political world, or vice versa, political world, and then, hey, the Bible says this, so therefore we shouldn't be following.
And again, you can't cherry pick the Bible. Usually people like this, a quote from the Bible, I guarantee you there's some other verse, and if you showed it to them, they'd say, oh, that's outdated, or I don't believe that particular verse isn't spot.
As he said, like, oh, do you believe this whole verse is hogwash, so therefore the whole book is hogwash? No, that's not how it goes at all. Again, I'll still believe in the words of the Bible.
I believe the way he was reading it was hogwash.
Exactly. I'll always believe the word of the Bible, and also on top of that, I will always know the context of these verses and Bibles, not only thanks to you, but also just through my own morality and my own knowledge of all those things at time. Because again, society changes, and also within the book, it does give a good foundation into your own faith itself. So that's what should be really more important about this whole situation. So we're going to go take a commercial break. When we come back, we're going to go into the next subject about Jesus specifically. This next atheist wants to point out really, really badly that he was a criminal of his time. So why are we celebrating him? But I'll have Bob respond to that when we come back to the Bob Siegel Show.
This is Bob Siegel. As a Christian apologist, I hear scorning and ridicule all the time from Bible skeptics and unbelievers. Some churches will still respond to such people with love and understanding. Others do not.
You Christians are such morons. There's no proof that God exists, and only a pea brain would believe in miracles. Wake up! Step into the 21st century. Besides, Christianity is responsible for most of the world's problems.
I find your lack of faith disturbing.
Relax, my friends. That's not the kind of response you'll get from Skyline Church. We welcome you just as you are, with all your doubts, all your questions, and all your concerns. Your problems with religion are understandable, and I promise at Skyline you'll experience the love of Jesus Christ, not the revenge of a Sith Lord.
Skyline Church.
Bob Siegel here with my producer, Brendan Thomas, and we're having some fun playing some atheist quotes off of the internet.
That's right. So the next clip I have for you is another one-minute clip. This atheist wants to describe why are we celebrating Jesus when he is a criminal himself. So let's take a listen to this clip and see if he makes any good points. I highly doubt it, by the way.
Brother, are you not aware that Jesus of Nazareth was a habitual criminal and that's why he was executed? It was a crime for Jesus to feed the poor. It was a crime for Jesus to look after the sick and infirm. It was a crime for Jesus to claim to be the King of Kings. It was a crime for Jesus to perform miracles or to harvest crops on the Sabbath. It was a crime for Jesus to forgive a woman of adultery. It was a crime for Jesus to assault the money changers and chase them out of the temple. Jesus Christ was executed for the crime of sedition, for plotting a violent revolt against the leaders of Rome. Not only did Jesus commit all of these crimes, but he suggested that people emulate them and replicate them themselves. He also suggested that people do malicious compliance, where they take the letter of the law and use that to take advantage of the system to benefit the people.
All right, Bob, your turn.
What a bunch of hogwash. First of all, in Jesus' ministry, he was asked flat out, should we pay taxes to Caesar? It was a test question. It was a litmus test. If he had said no, that would have been declaring a violent revolution against Rome. When he said, give Caesar what is Caesar, give God what is God's, he was saying, I'm not here to start a violent revolution. It's a revolution of the heart. Was it okay for him to claim to be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? Yeah, if that's who he really was. If he'd been lying, that would have been wrong. That would have been against the law. That would have been a sin. As for the Sabbath, there were all kinds of extended regulations about the Sabbath that went beyond the law of Moses. There was this oral law going on in those days trying to explain what roses really meant. And Jesus was saying at that point, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. He was saying sometimes there's extenuating circumstances, such as needing to eat. And as seditious behavior, well, yeah, they had to talk Pontius Pilate into executing him on the charge of seditious behavior to make him look like he was an enemy of Rome. But that's not who he really was. That was a lie. And oh, clearing the temples. Okay, yeah, he did go in there and violently overthrow those tables because these people were criminals. They were the criminals. It was like the smog inspectors of the day. If you brought in an animal and it had a blemish, you weren't allowed to go into the temple and have that animal sacrificed. So what they would do is sell you a new animal without blemish, and some of these inspectors were going to find a blemish even if one wasn't there. It was because they were criminals that Jesus got upset, and there is such a thing as righteous anger.
Right, exactly. Other thing, too, I don't want to mention is that Pilate himself would actually disagree that Jesus was a criminal.
Yeah, Pilate said, I don't see anything wrong with this man, but they put pressure on him. They said, this man claims to be a king, and the only king we have is Caesar. Well, Pilate was in trouble with Caesar at that time. I won't get into the reason right now, but it put a political pressure on Pilate that he very much regretted.
That's right. I wanted to go to John chapter 19, verse 4, where it literally says, Pilate therefore went forth again and saith unto them, "Behold, I bring him forth to you, that ye may know that I find no fault in him."
Yeah, he didn't find any fault. Pressure was put on him to do it. Now, that doesn't paint Pilate in a good light. He was spineless. He didn't take a stand. He was being a politician. But bottom line, when he tried him, he found the wrong in him.
That's right. Going back to harvesting crops and the sick and infirm, once again, those are religious crimes based on the Sabbath, which what you just said, again, was a misunderstanding.
And there's nothing in the law of Moses that says you can't heal on the Sabbath. Those kinds of things were added later in that oral law that I was telling you about.
That's right. Also, again, a miracle in adultery, were they crimes? Not if he was the Lord of Lords, again. So that, again, just shows you that, or the King of Kings, again, he is God. So therefore, there aren't crimes to forgive adultery and, again, to do miracles.
Well, and the other thing he's not even pointing out, even if you go back to the ancient law of Moses, a crime like adultery could be paid by financial restitution. Now,
right.
This woman didn't have a financial restitution. And Jesus knew that they weren't really concerned about her adultery anyway. They were trying to create a test case. So what did he do? He got down on the ground and he wrote certain things, and it's believed that he was writing the names of sins.
Mm-hmm.
And I accept that idea, because then he got up and said, "He who is without sin cast the first stone," and they went away. The crowd made their own decision to let them go.
Exactly.
Jesus didn't even use any violence to defend her. They let her go because they realized their own hypocrisy.
That's right. And also, again, Jesus is the Lord of the Sabbath. It said three times, as far as I know of, too, and there could be a lot more. It says this in Matthew chapter 12, verses 8, where it says, "For the Son of the Man is Lord even of the Sabbath." Mark chapter 2, verse 28, "So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath."
Yeah, he said, "My Father works on the Sabbath, so I will too," because he is God by identity.
Exactly. And lastly, I want to point out Luke chapter 6, verse 5. "Then Jesus said to them, the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath." That's literally what it says. So therefore, he is saying, "I'm the Lord of the Sabbath, therefore I could do that." Again, Pilate tried to free him twice, even if he was convicted of sedition too. So therefore, he was not a criminal to begin with. It was just jealousy, basically, of how popular
he was. It was a
rigged
trial from the beginning.
Exactly. Oh, a rigged trial. I wonder where else we heard that word rigged before.
That word did exist before Donald Trump.
Where in the Bible does it say that Jesus said, "Don't have a Sabbath day or call yourself a king"? Where? It doesn't. He never stated, "Hey, commit these crimes, especially doing stuff on Sabbath."
Now, it is true that if you go into the other books of the New Testament, the Apostle Paul said that under the New Covenant, we no longer have a Sabbath regulation.
Right.
However, when Jesus was alive, they were still living under the Old Covenant. I know we read about in a book that we call the New Testament,
mm-hmm.
and New Testament means New Covenant. That covenant really didn't go into operation until Jesus went to the cross and paid for our sins. Then the New Covenant came along. But again, under the law of Moses, the oral law of the rabbis had really expanded those Sabbath regulations. So Jesus is getting back to the heart of the real Sabbath. It is true, though, that later on, and this is a separate thing, under the new covenant, mm-hmm. we are no longer under those Sabbath regulations. But if he's trying to mix that in here, he's just comparing apples with oranges,
because
we're talking about two completely different covenants.
Absolutely. The last thing I do want to mention is that Jesus wrote the law, so he is the lawgiver, and he better understands the law more than anyone else in this entire universe. So therefore, again, null and point to every point he's ever made. So no, Jesus was never a criminal, and even if he was at that time, it was completely rigged in the system that he was in at that time. So it's okay to celebrate Jesus. Don't get me wrong, please, okay? Alright, so this last one is not really an atheist person, but they are kind of scared about the war against religion. So she'll make her point when we come back to the Bob Siegel Show.
The much-anticipated sequel to The Dangerous Christmas Ornament is finally here, Inside the Castle in the Glass. Mike Owen is now in high school enjoying his new girlfriend and his new popularity. But life gets interrupted when a series of mishaps transfer him and his friends into a whole new world, the very world his mysterious Christmas ornament originated from. Inside the Castle in the Glass, available on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com.
I'm Dr. David Poole, president of San Diego Christian College. If you've been thinking about getting your pilot's license and a degree in aviation, come fly with us. We have a long history of producing aviation leaders. Whether your focus is on commercial, missionary, or military, we're ready to help you achieve your goals from a Christian worldview. So look us up at sdcc.edu. That's sdcc.edu. San Diego Christian College. Come fly with us.
Welcome back to the Bob Siegel Show. Our theme, Christianity and its relationship to politics and pop culture. Good to be joined with one more segment by my producer, Brendan Thomas.
Well, for those fans of Bob Siegel that like this religious messages, I would highly suggest you guys listen to K-Praise, our sister station, KPRZ, 1210 AM and FM 106.1, Saturday mornings at 11 AM to 11:30. Bob does a strictly religious show, and he's done a really, really awesome job over there. Again, a really interesting recent podcast you had about New Testament versus Old Testament God.
I heard several comments regarding that. And again, on Sunday, we could talk about anything. We do talk about the Bible like we're doing right now, but we do a lot of politics, movie reviews. For those purists who want just the Bible, the Saturday show is for you.
Absolutely. Now, I do want to do this next clip here. Now, usually this show is called Bob Siegel Responds to Atheists or Atheist Comments. But this one, this person is not an atheist.
There are many people who have issues with Christianity who are not atheists.
Exactly. So absolutely. Yeah. And again, this person isn't saying that Christians are bad. She just has a certain concern.
Which is understandable. By the way, if you're out there, I know that Brendan and I will come down hard when there's arrogance, but I've met many atheists who are not arrogant. I had a good friend of mine who's an atheist on just a few weeks ago, Zach Kruger. We got along great over the air. So I'm not assuming that every atheist out there has arrogance, but when there is arrogance, whoever it's coming from, it should be called out.
I agree. And again, my point to the whole arrogance on these atheists, specifically the first two clips, has to deal with the fact that they're on a phone. But like you said, they can come about it with a delivery that's less snarky.
It sounds very smug. If they want to say, here's something I always wondered about or I'm concerned about, that's different.
Exactly, yeah. So,
and that's fair. Yeah. People have questions about this.
So I believe this person has a really good delivery behind them in terms of just, again, being more respectful about this question. And again, it's a valid question to ask. It has to deal with how wars are over religion, or at least she believes that most wars are over religion. So let's take a listen to this.
Devil's advocate here. Question, guys. I don't know much about the Bible or anything, but I am trying to have a connection with God, and I'm like working towards that. Doesn't it say somewhere, or like one of the prophets or whatever, say that like the world is gonna end at World War III, and it's gonna be because of fire, like war over religion? Because doesn't it seem like lately that these political wars, I know they've always been about religion in the past, but like, you know, behind closed doors, but doesn't it seem like it is all blatantly in your face about religion now? That kind of scares me a little bit, because if the world is gonna end soon, it's like coming pretty soon, considering this is all about religion now. It's either like Islam coming over here, or like Christians versus Democrats and Satanists, whatever. Don't you guys notice that this is all turning more than just political? It's literally a religious war. It's kind of creeping me out.
So if I could just make one quick response, I love how she lumped Democrats and Satan together all in one category. That's kind of a funny little tidbit there. But nevertheless, Bob, what is your response to her concerns over there?
Well, first of all, she did have the humility to admit that she doesn't understand the Bible very well, instead of being somebody who thinks they've mastered the Bible because they found some verse that they like.
The first two clips.
Yeah,
sorry,
exactly.
Bad cough there.
Exactly. So I appreciate that. Let me start first with what she said about the end of the world. The end of the world is going to come when a person known as, this is a prophecy, known as the Antichrist gets up. Will it be about religion in the sense that he will proclaim himself to be God and murder anybody who doesn't worship him as God? So we do have religious tyrants, but I want to point out two of the worst tyrants that we ever had in the 20th century, Adolf Hitler and Joseph Stalin. Mm-hmm. They were both atheists. Communism is a godless ideology. The Nazism of Hitler was very godless, even though there were some German Nazis who hypocritically went to churches, and those churches that went along with them, well, all I can say is Jesus says on Judgment Day, there will be people who call themselves Christians who will still be cast into hell because they used that name in vain and they weren't really following God. But it was godless what Hitler was doing. It was godless what Stalin was doing. So it's simply not true. Have we had a lot of religious wars? Yeah, but we've had wars run by atheists as well.
That's right. I do want to reference what she is referring to is 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 10 through 13. And I'm going to read this off here. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything done in it will be laid bare. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives. As you look forward to the day of God and speed is coming, that day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire, and the elements will melt in the heat. But in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth with righteousness dwells. So that's what she's referring to in terms of...
Yeah, and some people read that, and because of the fire, it reminds them of a nuclear holocaust. It may be a nuclear holocaust. We don't know. It's a prophecy. But when I read the book of Revelation, I get the impression that this is just something that God rains down himself, very Absolutely. Much like the old plagues of Egypt. So I wouldn't jump to the conclusion. She says World War III. Well, they don't call it World War III. There will be an end to the world because the world will turn evil. And again, the only religion associated with that is that we will have a worldwide dictator who will insist on being worshipped as God, just like in ancient Babylon, when King Nebuchadnezzar demanded to be worshipped as God.
Right.
And those that refused to do it were executed.
The great news about this is, again, that God is going to be making a completely brand new universe,
yeah,
a completely
exactly.
brand new heaven.
He's more about creation than destruction, but he will destroy evil. Now, as for war itself, there are good wars and there are bad wars.
Mm-hmm.
When wars are about land, when wars are about oil, they are unjustified wars. Adolf Hitler tried to wipe out every Jew in the world and tried to wipe out a lot of other people. He was an evil person that needed to be stopped. Obvious example, but it is an example of a just war. So the word war itself is neutral. What is the war about? If it's good versus evil, it's a justified war. If it's just a bunch of power-hungry mongrels that want to conquer land and go out plundering and pillaging, then it's a bad war.
Right, exactly. One of the other things, too, is that religion is always used as a patsy in certain cases that, oh, yeah, this was really about war. But really, again, like you said, it was more about power, land, wealth, not really against the good and evil.
Yes, it is true that people will use a religious ideology to justify something. They'll hijack the religion, so to speak.
Yeah, very few wars in our history are truly about religion itself. So
now, a lot of them claim to be, but like you're saying, there's another agenda that goes along with it.
Exactly. Like, for example, the Crusades. I was always taught, oh, that was about religion constantly. But no, it's not.
Well, they were started because Muhammad was told to go out and conquer the whole world.
I understand, but then it turned into something more. So therefore, the religious side became more of a, I guess, turn into the background.
I think when any human being gets involved in a war, the power and the greed starts taking a certain place in it. Absolutely.
Yeah. Again, the other thing I do want to mention is Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. This one says, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly realms." Clearly, it's about
there is a spiritual warfare going on behind the scenes, and
exactly.
that is the real war.
That is the real war of everything, because all the other wars, again, like you said, they're really about greed, power, and politics. This is where it comes down to. And again, I'm not saying that every single war was that. It's, again, there was very few wars that were truly, truly, truly about religion. So therefore, again, the main thing you should, again, focus on is that don't be scared with the term of it's the end of the world and everything's going to get destroyed. The main thing you want to focus on is being a true Christian follower, and again, you can be saved into a different, brand new heaven and a brand new earth that's going to be created.
Yeah, and by the way, just because the Bible predicts the end of the world, it's not telling us as Christians to bring about the end of the world.
Right, exactly. So therefore, again, truly love your neighbor and treat them like your neighbor, like I wanted to reference in our first segment, not as our neighbor, but like our neighbor specifically. So Bob, thank you again so much for this time with you tonight. It's been a lot of fun. And again, please check out previous podcasts of Bob Siegel's responding to atheism, because again, this is a really interesting show in my opinion. I want to keep it going. So thank you again, Bob.
Thank you, Brendan, for looking up all those.
Thank you so much. And we'll see everyone next week. Bob Siegel Show is sponsored in part by the law offices of Matthew Simone.